Do you want to learn how to be more visible and authentic in your business? I'm joined by personal brand and visibility coach Fifi Mason. Fifi shares how you can overcome self-silencing and avoid common visibility mistakes in this episode of Architecture Business Club, the weekly podcast for solo and small firm architecture practice owners just like you who want to build a profitable, future-proof architecture business that fits around their life. I'm the host, John Clayton. If you want to get notified when I release a new episode and get access to free resources and exclusive offers, then go to mrjohnclayton.co.uk/ABC and sign up to my free weekly email newsletter. Now let's explore being more visible. Fifi Mason is a personal brand and visibility coach, and her mission and purpose is to help individuals with quieter voices show up authentically, amplify their impact, and create the change they wish to see in the world. To connect with Fifi, visit fifimason.com/connect. Fifi, welcome to Architecture Business Club.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here. My pleasure. Before we get stuck into our topic we're going to talk about, we have a shared love of dogs. We're both dog owners, aren't we? So could you tell me a little bit about your Siberian Huskies, Kylo and Winter?
Yes, dogs. I could talk about them all day. I have two Huskies. So Kylo is 5 and Winter is 6, I think, because she's a rescue. So we're not quite sure on her age when I got her, but they are my world. I absolutely adore Huskies, and a big part of my dream and what I'm working towards is having a Husky rescue one day. So yeah, I could talk about dogs all day long.
Sounds absolutely amazing. Definitely something to work towards. Our dog, Maisie, she's also a rescue as well. She was from Romania and we got her when she was about 5 months. So she's coming up 4 this spring, we think. She might even make a guest appearance during this interview. So we'll hopefully not. Hopefully she'll be quiet in the background, but we'll see how we go. So today we are going to talk about how we can start showing up and being more visible in what we do. So I guess it'd be a good place to start would be just to talk about what is visibility and why is it important, particularly for small business owners?
Yes. So visibility it's really important because without being seen, if we're not being heard, we aren't going to be able to reach the right people. We're not going to be able to get in front of the people that we want to serve the most. So visibility is really showing up in your business as yourself, being yourself and being visible, being seen online and even offline as well. Sometimes it can be going to networking events and that kind of thing. But predominantly what I help my clients with is showing up online and being visible online. And there is a challenge there for those who I work with the most, which is quite introvert. And they find this quite a challenge, quite a struggle to be visible and be seen and show up. So it's just one of those things that if you're not being visible, if you're not being seen on social media, you're going to just really struggle to reach the people that you really want to work with. And what I find is a lot of people tend to hide behind a logo or a business name, and they have this kind of professional way of putting themselves out there, which means they're not being seen. So yeah, visibility is really important.
Yeah, that is such a common thing, well, particularly in the architecture industry. You've mentioned a couple of things there. Maybe we could sort of just rewind a step and talk a little bit more about that and perhaps sort of dive into, you know, some of those common mistakes that small business owners make when it comes to visibility. So you mentioned about Often people will hide behind the business logo. That's something that you've seen a lot of, I imagine, working with some of your clients.
Yes. So the biggest mistakes that business owners are making when it comes to visibility is what I said, hiding behind a logo and a business name most predominantly. That's when someone starts out, they feel like they have to have this really professional, business-like way of approaching things. And that doesn't work necessarily, because it means you miss out on, people miss out on understanding what makes you different, what makes you unique. And there's a lack of personality. They're not seeing who you are. They're not seeing the true person behind the business. They're not able to connect with you. So if you're not showing up and you are hiding, and you, even though having a business name and a logo can be important, it's not the most important thing. And it's really thinking through how you want to be seen and how you want to be perceived, and really figuring out the way that you want to show up to connect with the people that you want to help the most. So yeah, the biggest mistake often is hiding behind a logo and a business name, not putting photographs of yourself anywhere, kind of hiding your face, and not being yourself, not being authentic, and not having anything personal involved in your brand. And the problem is that you are your business, especially if it is just you. You're the one that is offering the service. You're the one who is the expert. If you're the one that works with everyone, you are your business. And if people aren't seeing that, and all they're seeing is a name or a logo, it just makes it much more difficult for them to want to work with you, because they don't know who you are. They don't know what you're all about. And there's no way to differentiate you from other people out there.
I think in essence, it makes your presence like a bit vanilla, that it sort of makes it hard to differentiate what is different about what you do versus what another service provider may offer. So yeah, and actually that thing that you mentioned there about the common thing of people hiding behind the logo, hiding behind the work, that's exactly what I started doing. Now, when I started out, my, you know, personal brand kind of came about by accident. So I fell into all of those pitfalls that most of us do. Like, you know, I didn't work around any of those. I made all the same mistakes that most of us make. Okay, that's really interesting. Something else I wanted to touch upon, which we spoke a little bit about outside of the interviews, is self-silencing. Mm-hmm. What is self-silencing, and where does it hold us back, particularly in relation to being visible?
Yes, so this is one of my favorite topics to talk about. And self-silencing is really, well, at its core, it's when we hold back from sharing our thoughts, our ideas, our opinions, and our perspectives, all because we fear the perceived consequences. And it's really a self-imposed barrier that just prevents us from speaking out and sharing what we are with the world. It's also known as self-censoring or self-censorship as well. So if you've ever come across those terms, it's very similar. But it really is just that invisible force that stops us in our tracks. And it makes us feel unsure and uncertain and maybe uncomfortable as we are putting ourselves out there. And really, how it shows up and how it feels is quite different for most, for everyone. There's some commonalities and common reasons why you might be holding yourself back. But it really is a personal thing. But for many, and myself included, it was just a mixture of fears, of doubts that were stopping me in my tracks. And there was a lot of worry, anxiety, and it was really affecting me professionally in how I was showing up and being visible in the early days of my business when I was freelancing. And then later on, as things progressed, there was different ways in that I was holding back. And I think it shows up in different ways for different people at different times. So it really is just hiding who you are, your own thoughts, your ideas and opinions, because you fear what might happen. And often they are what I call perceived consequences, because they are just things in our head that we think are going to happen. And realistically, what is going to happen tends not to.
So how does it feel having been somebody that's had to work through a lot of those barriers of self-silencing to now be somebody that is very visible online? How does that feel now, having made that transition?
Oh, that's such a great question. I think once you get to a point where you can let go of a lot of those fears, a lot of those worries, it just makes everything more enjoyable and more fun. And when you show up and you're sharing things and you can see the impact it makes, you can see how other people are inspired by what you're putting out there and sharing with the world, that just that feeling is incredible. So yeah, I think once you are able to just let go and really, I think there's a kind of part of that which is not caring anymore, not really having a care that you're going to upset someone or anger them in a way, but still being empathetic and approaching things in a way that is the right way of doing things. You're not going to go out there just to offend people, but what you're saying, what you're talking about isn't intentionally going to hurt anyone or offend anyone or upset anyone. And the reason that you've been holding back is because you think that it might, even though it's not likely to. And when you do start to share those things and people can resonate with them and relate to them, it's just an incredible feeling and it's freeing. I think that's the word I would use to describe it.
I can totally relate to this, Fifi. I had put off doing something like this podcast and other ideas that I've had over the years for all of those reasons that you've mentioned. So yeah, I totally resonate with everything you've just said. And it does feel very freeing. That's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. But for many of us, it does feel, still feels uncomfortable showing up. In some cases, impossible, particularly being in the spotlight, especially online, perhaps on social media. So what tips do you have to help us overcome self-silencing and to authentically show up as the face of our own business?
Remember, don't forget to subscribe to my free weekly email newsletter. You can do that at mrjohnclayton.co.uk/ABC. And if you're enjoying this episode, then please visit podchaser.com, search for Architecture Business Club and leave a 5-star review. Now back to the show.
Yes. So for those who are struggling with this, I think the first step is really identifying what is holding you back, the reasons why you are not sharing the thoughts that you have, the ideas that you have. Say you've got a really interesting, unique perspective about something in your industry, and you could put it out there, you could post, you could talk about it, but you're not. You're stopping yourself because you're worried that peers in your industry might think that it's a stupid idea, or you might get some backlash because it's not the way that most people do it, and anything like that, you're holding back from sharing that, even though you feel like it is something important that you want to share and talk about. If you're in that position, it's really just identifying it. It's figuring out what there is that is holding you back in that, and knowing the reason. So for that one, for that example, the reason that I believe that you are holding back, if that's something that you're struggling with, is that you are worrying about the opinion, changing the opinion of those that you care about. And it's not necessarily the strangers out in the world. It's not that. It's the people that you care about, maybe friends, family, your peers in your industry, people who you respect in some way. Those people, you're worried that they're going to change their opinion of you. They're going to think differently of you. And really identifying the reason is the starting point. And I have a really good quiz to help with that. It's called the What is Holding You Back quiz. So it can help you to identify the real reason why you might be self-silencing. But once you do have this understanding, once you've really looked deeper at why you're holding yourself back, that is when you can start taking those steps to work through it and work your way forwards. And so the next step after that is to take smaller steps, to take steps that don't feel as big and as daunting, and really start small, start making small progress as you start to share things. So an example is to just share it with a close friend first and be able to talk to them about it. And then the next step might be to talk to family members and other friends. And then the next step could be you might post it on your personal Facebook because it's private and only your friends can see it. And it's just taking those little steps to start to reveal and talk about these things more. And another thing I'd add here is finding your community, finding your audience and those people who are going to be receptive to those ideas and thoughts and opinions. So there's Facebook groups that you could do that in and that kind of thing. And creating your own groups, your own community of people that are really going to resonate with what you. And then if you're still struggling with that, the next step is to start to reframe your thoughts and ideas, reframe the way you're thinking and looking at things. And I have a cool game that I can share with you and those listening. It's called the What If game. And it's a really, really simple reframing method. So what you would do is draw out two columns. And in the first column, you label it self. And in the second column, you label it service. And then in those moments of doubt, you might be thinking what I call what if questions. So it could be something like, what if I say something silly? What if someone gets annoyed with me and says something nasty? When you're thinking of those what if questions, you would list them all down in the self column. And then what you want to do is flip from that self perspective into the service perspective. And think of what the benefit is of sharing those things or putting that thing out there from a what if perspective as well. So it could be, what if I make someone smile today? What if somebody needed to hear this to change their perspective? And so you would list all of those in the service column. So when you're in those moments of really thinking and through the doubts and the worries and you're stuck in that mindset, you can flip yourself out of it into this service mindset where you're thinking about showing up for those people that you want to serve the most. So they are the three tips that I would give you to help move past self-silencing.
I love that. That's such a brilliant idea. Were there any other suggestions or ideas that you had for posting on social media in particular. That seems to be quite a hang up for a lot of people. Are there any sort of suggestions for how to go about being a little bit more visible when they're, you know, posting things on their socials?
Yes, definitely. Social media is one of the, especially for quiet or introverted types, I find that we are a lot less likely to want to put stuff out there and be seen and be visible. We keep to ourselves a lot more. So it can be a challenge. And yes, so my advice on that, well, I can share three social post types to help kind of get you thinking about how you might put some more personal type content out there on social media. So I'm not sure if you've talked about this on your show already, but it comes up a lot. So the know, like, and trust factor is something that when you start to learn more about marketing and that kind of thing, it comes up. It's quite a buzzword. It's a buzz phrase. And even though it is really overused in some instances, it is still something that is a really powerful kind of way of approaching things, and it still stands. It still can help you to think through a way of actually showing up on social media as well. So the know, like, and trust factor is really showing people what they, well, helping people see, find you and know you and discover what you're all about. They start to like you and then trust you. So following those three steps as social media posts, you could put out content for the know to help people get to know you. And so then that the sorts of posts that you might share for that could be like your unique approach or your perspective, content that makes you different. Maybe it's frameworks, maybe it's sharing your opinions, sharing things that are going to stand out because they're quite different in your approach, your own perspective. Then you have the like types of content, which could be personal stories, things that are sharing your values, and they're more personal, personable as well, and really revealing more of yourself. It could be sharing photographs of yourself. It could be little videos where you talk through your day and sharing snippets of your life a little bit. And they are the sorts of content, that the sorts of posts that people are going to start to really like you and really want to know more about you and learn more about you personally. And then you've got the trust types of posts, and they could be testimonials and the social proof of what you're putting out there, of your service and sharing the results and the outcomes that you provide. So it could be testimonials, client before and afters. It could be case studies, things like that. So the content that really shows that you are making a difference, if that you are actually helping people, you are providing the results that you actually want to help people with. So that is the know, like, and trust types of content. And just following that and keeping it in mind as you create content can be really helpful.
That's really helpful. There might be some listeners that are thinking, oh God, like, you know, I don't want to have to like be posting loads of personal stories and pictures of me. And I guess we just have to caveat this and just remind them that the point that you shared earlier in the conversation, that you can start with those baby steps. Like, you don't have to be like going out of the gate, and you don't have to be posting photos of yourself and personal mm-hmm. things you don't want to share. This can be a little sprinkling of personality amongst other things you might be talking about online. I think a common thing that a lot of architects and architecture practice owners do is the content they share tends to be very much about the you know, photos of finished projects or visuals of a design they're working on. And it's very much like, hey, look at what I've designed. Aren't I great? And it's all about the work and not really about them. But this is a really easy way, just with those three different post suggestions, that they could sprinkle some of that into their content that they're putting out there. And it would really help to kind of level up the game to help them become more visible, as well as just letting people know about what great work they do. So I love that. Some great suggestions.
Exactly. It is like that. It's just finding the balance for you. And yes, so the no types of content might be the approach that you have, or sharing the work that you've done, but then having those more personal like types of content, and then also the trust, which is really important to show that you're actually getting the results for your clients. And so, yeah, so just having that spread out and scattered. And it's a good point that you make, because sometimes you wonder, am I sharing too much of myself? Am I sharing, or it can be the balance that you find there is what you feel comfortable with, and really just to think through that you're sharing and know that there's a purpose behind it, rather than it just being something you put out there. So say you have a story to tell, maybe something like you want to show that you aren't always perfect. And that's a great way of showing that you're real, that you're human, but sharing a story where you've made a mistake, but you've learned a lesson and you've had an epiphany or a transformation. And so you're not just putting something out there that's personal for just the sake of it. You're actually sharing a story of how you worked through something in your life and it made an impact on you, but it shows that you're human, but also that you've learned and grown from something. So it's really thinking through how you put out those stories and why you're putting out those stories in the first place as well.
It's a brilliant suggestion. People love stories, and to share a story where you show a bit of vulnerability as well, that could be really powerful and really help you to connect with people. Fifi, this has been really helpful and really insightful. Really enjoyed the conversation. What's the main thing that you'd like everyone to take away from this today?
The main thing is really that you can, even if you feel that you don't want to be seen and be visible, that you just can't do it, if you feel that it's impossible, that just because you're shy or quiet or more introverted, that you can't do it, I want you to know that you can. That is the main thing I want to end on today. That it is possible, as you grow in confidence, as you start to really put yourself out there in these small ways, gradually take these steps, understand what might be holding you back, understand the power of actually showing up and being visible, and that all the things that you really think might happen are not likely to happen. So really just having that hope that you can show up and be visible and feel comfortable doing so, and have that sense of freedom that we talked about as well.
I love that. Fifi, is there anything else you wanted to add that we haven't already covered in the conversation?
No, I think we covered a lot, and I don't want to overwhelm people with so much stuff. So yeah, it was a great conversation. I loved it.
Oh, cool. Me too. There is another question that I'd like to ask. It's got nothing to do with the topic today. It's just something I like to ask the guests on the show. I love travel and discovering new places, and architecture, it's about place. So could you tell me one of your favorite places and what you love about it? It doesn't matter if it's near or far. It could be absolutely anywhere. Does anywhere spring to mind?
Every year I go to the Peak District to just go on long walks with my dogs. So that is one of my favorite things to do. So I think it's like Bakewell area. Just love it. Something just calls to me there. And every year I have to go back and have my fix of trolling through all of the nature and on the hikes and things. So, I love that place.
Oh, me too. And also indulging in a Bakewell tart or two, perhaps, while you're there?
I don't, but it is very well known for that. And yeah, my friends do.
I certainly did the last time I went there. That's been awesome. Thanks so much, Fifi. Could you please just remind everybody can you remind them how to connect with you and also where they can take your quiz?
Yes, so you can connect with me on fifimason.com/connect. And the quiz is on there too. It's the What's Holding You Back quiz.
That's brilliant. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Next time, I'm joined by architectural technologist Ian Chevelle to discuss his unconventional career journey into architecture. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Architecture Business Club. If you liked this episode, think other people might enjoy it, or just want to show your support, then please visit podchaser.com, search for Architecture Business Club, and leave a glowing 5-star review. It would mean so much to me and makes it easier for new listeners to discover the show. If you just want to connect with me, you can do that on most social media platforms. Just search for @MrJohnClayton. The best place to connect with me online, though, is on LinkedIn. You can find a link to my profile in the show notes. Remember, running your architecture business doesn't have to be hard, and you don't need to do it alone. This is Architecture Business Club.